Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Into the 4 o'clock hour, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Little Chris versus the fans headed your way. 288, no, not 288. 833-288-0973. That'll get you at least in line to take on Mr. Ello, who bounced back with a win yesterday. No, did he bounce back?
Well, somebody ended up winning,
but he got a couple wins
before. Questions.
Yeah.
I want to get this job. You know how Scraby says this sometimes? There's like these jobs where people get paid and they don't really make a difference.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that Greg McElroy, the ESPN broadcaster, doesn't do anything, because he does.
Oh, no.
But when he comes on ESPN, and there's a minute and a half clip of him here, heaping praise on the Ole Miss quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss. Nothing wrong with that. But then he spends half of this explaining why Chambliss will be critical tonight when Ole Miss faces Miami.
Chris, Tony,
is that possible that he couldn't be critical? He's the quarterback. Of course he's going to be critical.
You got to remember, he is talking to people that might not know anything about Ole Miss.
You think? Do you think that people on the ESPN.com website know so little about football that they don't think the Ole Miss quarterback will be critical to the outcome of tonight's game?
I'm thinking he did it for TV and then they just posted it online. Where is he doing it from?
I don't know. This is online. So
no, I know, but like, do you see?
Oh, I see what you're saying. He might have recorded this on TV for people that are new to the sport.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
I will say I'm not on your side, Tony.
I've been feeling this way about Mr. McElroy.
McElroy in particular. Okay.
In particular. I didn't want to do this either, but I'm not a big fan of Greg McElroy either.
I think it's his hair that bothers me.
He's got too good a hair?
No,
he has hair.
He needs to go ahead and let it go. He's up there rocking
He's very positive, which is not a terrible thing.
I don't mind that.
Don't be master of the obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, who's going to decide? Well, Chambliss tonight will be critical. Come on. I mean, you got to be getting paid more than some high school kid who could say the same thing about his high school game.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think some producer came to him and said, hey, this is the segment we're doing?
No.
Listen, what I...
Because
what
I would come to you and be like, who's critical today? And you'd be like, I don't want to do it.
I'm pretty sure the producer did say, hey, this is what we're going to be talking about. Yeah. But it's kind of up to him to kind of figure out what kind of slick thing he can say up there that'll catch the audience's attention.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not so mad at Chris's anger.
All right.
Wow, Andy Bennis on the screen right now. Bennis the Menace, apparently.
Some old footage?
Yeah.
You guys ready for Chris vs. Fans?
Let's do it.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris vs. the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the rules, or actually the prize first. You're qualified for a chance to win the grand prize. Two tickets to Sammy Hagar at Dolby Live at Park MGM, a two-night stay at Park MGM Las Vegas, and a $100 gas card. Sammy Hagar returns to Vegas with his Best of All Worlds Las Vegas residency. Get ready to rock with your favorite hits from the Van Halen years, Sammy solo hits, and more only in Las Vegas this March 11th through the 21st and September 18th through the 26th at Dolby Live Park at Park MGM. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Rules. And guys, I just realized we have J.D. Lester calling in on the other side, so we should
pick this up.
Yeah, well, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get it right, you move on. If you get it wrong, Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that first question for free today. All right, let me get the contestants up and ready to go. Let's go to first caller with Scott.
Hello, Scott. How are you on this Thursday afternoon?
I'm well. Hope the same for you guys.
Thank you, Scott.
Yes, thank
Very
you.
Nice. Here we go. First question. What is the three-letter acronym for paying college athletes?
NIL.
Nice.
I didn't know if that was explained well. Good job. Good job.
I remember when it first came out, people didn't know what it was. NIL.
No, we were calling everything NIL.
Yeah, it took a while.
Anything that had money to it, NIL. We figured out that was not the case as we got into it. All right, question number two. All right, I'm going to make a little change to this question
because
I think it might get you into trouble.
Oh, gosh.
What is the official term for contact violation in basketball?
Oh, I see.
Contact violation.
Contact violation?
Yes.
What is the official term?
I'm lost.
Wait,
good luck to you, Scott.
Let me read the original question.
How did he originally say
Well, you are what, right. It's going to change it.
It is. Hold on, but I'm going to see if it maybe gets him to the answer.
Okay.
What is the official term for an excessive contact violation in basketball?
I think that's better than the first version.
Let's see what answer we get first.
Scott, what do you
think? Flagrant foul?
That's what I would
see,
go with.
That's why I removed it.
Tony did the right
thing. His answer.
We'll give a different question, but the answer.
No, he moves on.
Okay. Yeah, the answer is personal foul.
Oh, personal foul.
But I knew
foul.
If I added the excessive part, it would lead to that
to flagrant.
Answer.
To
I
a
thought
flagrant
it was, foul. Oh, I would have said technical, but that would have been wrong.
I would have got it wrong.
Would a technical foul been right?
No.
For an excessive personal
no,
foul?
No, it's a flagrant.
Excessive it can moves into flagrant.
There are flagrant technicals, but. For the way you asked the question, I would have said a flagrant foul.
Good job, Tony.
You're on to the next question.
All right, Scott, you're on for the title here.
is that real?
Oh, no.
The second to last one?
Yes.
Is that real? I just learned this like 2 days ago.
What was the snowboard initially called?
First name for the snowboard.
Snowboard, the item that people go down a mountain?
The equipment that you go down in a mountain. What was it originally called?
I have no idea.
No kidding.
He's going to pass it to you, LL.
I know, Chris. If Chris gets this, I'm going to, well, I won't say I'll quit, but.
You can just consider it.
Yes.
He does.
Yeah, Scott, we'll see you at the Las Vegas. I don't even know what a snowboard is, barely. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I skied if I ever did that. I don't even know what they would.
You're not
toboggan board?
that's not bad.
I mean, I have no idea.
Oh, Scott is
that wasn't it, huh?
toboggan board is not it.
I'm afraid to say this, but because it could be completely wrong, but because it seems like it.
Yeah.
Snurfer.
What?
What? No, that's a snorter.
Oh, that's a snorter.
Snurfer, snow surfing.
Oh,
a snurfer.
Yeah, snow
wow.
surfing.
And so who said, you know what, this is stupid. Whoever, we're calling this a snowboard.
Oh, I have no idea about that, but I got into this weird wormhole of finding out how
the snowboard
was invented.
I think they should have stuck with snurfer. I think that's a little more fun.
Snurfing?
I need my snurfer.
I'm a snurfer.
You guys want to go snurfing?
I don't hate that.
That feels so fake. Is that real?
That's real.
Wow.
Go look it up. Original name of the snowboard. Snurfer.
Snurfer.
I just wish that somehow, somewhere, somebody had told me that and I was able to come up with that.
I'd have fell out of this chair
if you'd totally shocked
you. You said, oh, yeah, snurfer.
I've never even heard the word. So
I know it's not
had
a
no
word.
No chance. Scott, hang on the line. You are the qualifier today. You know, you mentioned Andy Bennis. They're showing this game on baseball, MLB Network. This is one of the all-time great games.
Yes, it is.
It is a game five between
Vince Coleman?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to get to. That was exactly what I was going to get to. The Yankees are playing the Mariners, and it's the 1995, and the wild card round. The Yankees won the first two games. They went to Seattle. Seattle won two, and so they played the fifth game to decide it. Now, the Mariners had never won anything in their history to that point.
This was Dave.
And the Yankees were the Yankees, of course.
This was Don Mattingly's, like, last crack at it. Right.
Don Mattingly finally had a chance to go somewhere. Well, Andy Bennis started the game for Seattle. Now, I would have lost every wager on that. I don't ever remember Andy Bennis even playing for Seattle, but he did for that half of the season.
Bennis the Menace.
And he got the start. And then you get, yes, Vince Coleman was the Mariner leadoff hitter. I don't ever remember Vince Coleman playing for the Mariners. In this game.
You know what's funny is I'm listening, Derek Jeter's on the bench right now.
The first Tony inning. Fernandez started at shortstop and played the game for the Yankees. So I don't think Derek Jeter was either there yet. Or
no, he was just on the bench. I just saw.
Okay, so he didn't make the crack the lineup that
it's
day.
Hard to hear Derek Jeter being on the bench. That's just something. Not something that happened very often.
Some of the other names from that game: Jim Leyritz, pinch hit for the Yankees in that game. Anyway, it came down. It was a classic game because Griffey tied it with a home run in the bottom of the eighth. They went into extra innings.
He scored the winning run, too.
He did. The Yankees got one in the top of the 11th, and with two outs, I believe. No, I beg your pardon. It was zero outs. I always thought
Wade
it was with
Boggs
two outs.
Wade Boggs at third base?
Wade Boggs for the Yankees, yeah. Interesting. I think it was Edgar Martinez hit the shot into the corner.
Yep.
And Griffey raced all the way around to score the second run on that and win the game. Classic finish.
Ruben Sierra only 35 at that time.
You got one of my all-time favorite former Padres, Joey Cora, in there at second base for the Mariners. He homered in this game, a rarity for Joey Cora.
Love Joey Cora.
The only reason I knew the Mariners team back in the day was Ken Griffey Baseball.
Everybody, yeah.
Well, Tino Martinez.
Oh. Shortstop for the Mariners that day was?
A-Rod?
Well, A-Rod pinch ran, so he was not even in the starting lineup yet. Felix Fermin. I don't know that he's related.
That's what I was going to say. Is it related to Freddie Fermin?
I don't know. Anyway, those were the days. All right, that killed a minute. When we come back, J.D. Lester, you're taking us. Oh, no. Yeah, you are. Sorry.
I don't know if I'm going to get to talk to my man, Jesse. Because look at this picture. He looks like he is in the building, wherever this game is being played.
Jesse might be at the U game.
He definitely looks like he's in the building.
That don't look good like it's him. Off the TV screen.
No, that doesn't.
Well, he should be there. Why not?
Good for you, Jess.
All right. Well, you should definitely. Let's call him. Get him on the air. Get a live update.
Where are they playing? I think it's in Arizona.
It's in Arizona.
Yeah.
So he probably is there. All right. Let's get to break. On the other side, JD. Is JD coming up next?
Yeah.
JD Lester.
That's what Chris just said, Carl Sheffers.
Mark Winnipeg.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury, here's Kelly Danik.
Well, not too bad out here. Just a couple things I need to mention. One of them is a stalled vehicle on the SeaWorld Drive off-ramp, southbound 5 and south 805 before the 163. We are getting reports of a large tire in that left lane. And Kelly Danik, Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey everybody, it's Gravy here for SD Fat Loss. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days with SD Fat Loss, and things are going well this week. I am eating right, and it's because SD Fat Loss helped me to get to a point where I knew what I should be eating. I knew when to eat it, knew how much to eat, all of that stuff. They take the guesswork out of everything that you need to lose weight, and this program is something that you can carry around with you forever. If you figure out what you need to do, you can pick it up whenever you need to. That's what I did because I did not eat the best over the holiday season. And so I'm back on it. And I went back to my book. I went and looked through some of the notes I took. And that's something that I can't get. That's something that you can't get anywhere else. They're going to set you up for success. They're going to not only they're not only going to help you get the weight off, but they're going to help you keep the weight off. So the holiday sale was such a big success. They have extended it indefinitely. You can go to their website, sdfatloss.com. Go and get a free consultation. Sign up for one on the website, sdfatloss.com. I feel much better. I sleep much better. I have more energy. And SD Fat Loss is to thank for that. So once again, holiday sale going on. Get your free consultation, sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Don't fret for me, Mike McDaniel fans. Apparently, according to the AP, the Lions have already reached out to the fired Dolphins coach about being the offensive coordinator.
That would be nice.
I like
He'd have some tools to work with.
He'd have a lot of tools to work with.
Yeah. And they just fired their offensive coordinator the other day. Gwen and Chris, 419. Coming up in about 45 minutes or so on that college football playoff game. Ole Miss and the U. And we think Jesse is at the game.
He's at the game.
So good for him.
Him and his son Jonah are both there.
Wow.
He went to the U, right? He's not just a fan.
No, he went
to the U, right?
He's a hurricane through and through.
Right.
Do we know what years he went there? Was he Ken Dorsey years?
He was there when it was lit.
Popping?
Yes.
When it was
Frank
lit.
Gore, Clinton Portis.
We went down there my junior year to play them, and he was one of the—
Oh, when you were at baseball, played down there?
Yeah, he was there the same time I was at San Diego State. So one of his first interviews was actually my pops.
That's crazy.
As San Diego State head coach.
Wow.
I mean, the U was so dominant in college football.
So dominant.
How many years are we going? 7, 10?
It like started 99, it felt like. The second iteration of the Hurricane.
Because they started with Howard Schnellenberger.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that name. He won the first one with Bernie Kosar in 83 when they beat Nebraska.
And then Mr. Johnson came
in. And then
Jimmy came
in. And then Dennis Erickson picked up, and he kept winning championships.
What was the other guy that won in the 2000s?
Larry something. He was a dorky-looking guy.
He did not look like the other football coach.
Yeah, Larry Corker, something.
Yeah,
he didn't look right. He didn't look like he belonged there even.
But they were good, though.
They were good that year. Yeah, so Miami's trying to win their first title, I think, in 24 years. Ole Miss is going for their first in 64 years. And then Oregon and Indiana, they never won one.
You know what
So it's going to be somebody new.
You know what I remember most about going to the University of Miami for that three-game series? Is being on campus and seeing so many Cadillac Escalade EXTs. And I'm positive, and it was like the punter, the kicker, they're all pushing these bad boys around.
The NIL was popping.
It was popping
before
there was NIL. I think McKinney was the offensive lineman. That was like the biggest, one of their high picks that year. I remember seeing him out there.
I'll tell you one thing. If Ole Miss wants to win this game tonight, one thing I think they should avoid is spending a lot of time looking at the Miami sideline. Because Michael Irvin, if he doesn't intimidate you enough, how about Ray Lewis?
Ray Lewis is over there.
That'll make him miss
a
tackle.
They both look like they want to get on the field.
Right. Yeah, so they'd be better off just kind of avoiding that. Miami won the championship 83, 87, 89, and 91. So they won 4 in 8 years. And then 2001 was the one you're referring to, Tony, with Larry, whoever he was.
Corker.
The final title.
Remember Jim Tressel and his like sweater vest?
I remember them winning that game.
That was a game where Miami was supposed to win the championship, and Ohio State beat
game.
Them. Yeah. At the Fiesta Bowl.
Very interesting story. I watched that game. I was a junior.
Ohio State.
I watched that game at the Hooters that was down here, down the street.
Down the street from here?
Yeah, it was like, may have been over in Mission Valley.
They still have that one, actually. Yeah. I believe it's the only one in town.
I went with a couple teammates. And
how would you know, Chris?
It's on my way. I'll be honest with you. It's on my way to Trader Joe's.
Believe me, I know it's still there.
Well, first of all, I have been to Hooters in my life, okay? But secondly, it's on our way to Trader Joe's. We drive right by it all the time.
You know who was my waitress that day?
Oh, you know who your waitress was?
Because I went to school with him. I knew it. It was one of the Bella twins.
Oh,
it was Nikki.
Wow.
Yeah.
There
That's
you go.
Kind of crazy.
And I remember that game, and I still can't watch replays to this day because of it, because Willis McGahee's knee.
Oh, yeah.
Like, went in a completely wrong direction.
Yeah.
But that was a good game, though.
A lot of good games.
A lot of Miami folks not happy about that pass interference call at the end of that game.
Correct. And they brought it up about 100 times last week when they played Ohio State in the playoff.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Normally, the Aztec guys are right on time with the call, so I'm sure that something is practice was extended. Or
do you
that
think
would be
foul
my
play?
Guess. Foul play? No, I don't think foul
like
play.
Like when Tony fell asleep?
Yeah. J.D. Lester's supposed to join us. Hopefully, we'll be able to catch
we'll
up with him.
Out.
But the Aztec guys have always been right on time, so I'm imagining that Dutch probably ran a little long with something today, but we'll try to catch up with them. They're playing Fresno State Saturday night. We're going to Utah State tomorrow. You been up there, Tony?
Utah State. No, yeah, I don't think they went into conference when I was there.
Highly recommend it. Nothing to recommend.
What city is it in?
Logan, Utah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's not much to recommend.
Now, I get them confused. Utah State's going to go to
Pac-12. Utah State's
going to
be in. Yeah,
but Reno is staying back.
Nevada and UNLV both stayed back. I believe because Nevada wasn't invited necessarily.
It's and like, then UNLV, y'all stayed in.
Right, and then UNLV did not want to split off because I think UNLV should have gone, right? They're legit, but they didn't want to break away from Nevada. So they're staying. Wyoming staying and New Mexico. Maybe one other, but I know that we never get to go to Laramie again.
I was going to say, are you sad you don't get to go to the Dome of Doom?
Yeah, no, I'm not sad. I did ask Stacey Terry Hudson after the game the other day if she ever wanted to maybe reschedule up there in a non-conference, and she said, I think I almost had to bleep it. And she said, absolutely not. She did not want to go back up there ever again. And there's no reason to. It's a hard game no matter what up at that altitude.
Who was it that
those altitude games are no joke, man?
Smokey Gaines said they.
Oh God,
they
that was a great
gym.
Who told us that story?
Was it Ziegler?
I can't remember who told us.
I don't think it was
story.
Ziegler. I know it was Ted. Ted told us the story.
Right. Yes, it was Ted Leiter.
Smokey sold it to his guys that although they had the altitude in Wyoming, the arena was what was it pressure packed or something?
What was the word?
What did he use? Oh, that was funny.
It was pressurized.
Pressurized.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
like a plane.
Yeah. So you wouldn't feel it. And the guys all had to believe him. They didn't know any better. They couldn't look it up.
Yeah. Especially there was that extra information was, no. was not easy access at that
Smokey
point.
Ted, I think, was there for the speech and did everything he could not to break up. Smokey Gaines was the all-time salesman. You guys would have loved Smokey. He was one of a kind for sure.
I know one Smokey that I love. Smokey!
From Friday.
Chris, have you seen Friday?
The one with the barbershop where Eddie Murphy's
no.
all the characters?
No, that's
Coming to America.
No, oh, that is Coming to America. Yeah, you're
right. Friday's with Ice Cube.
I'm pretty sure he hasn't seen Friday.
No, but Friday's is a barbershop one, isn't it?
No, that's Barbershop.
Oh, that's Barbershop. Okay, well,
Friday's
then I haven't
the
seen
one with
Friday.
Ice Cube. And Chris Tucker. Yeah,
okay, I guess I have it.
I think Chris would like the movie.
I don't think Chris would
when
like
Devo
it.
Would come.
I think Chris would like that
Why
movie.
Why not?
I don't think you would. I don't think you would. I liked
Coming to America.
It's not the same.
Professor. I mean,
it's definitely not the Nutty Professor at all.
What was the one? What was the serious one about about NWA with? That came out a couple of years ago.
Straight out of Compton.
Yeah.
I like that movie, but I guess they left a lot out.
Yeah, they can't. It's a 2-hour flick.
But
they can't fit everything that happened.
The criticism was they didn't put like the bad stuff in there as well as the good stuff.
Well, I thought they put some bad in there.
They definitely had some bad in there.
Bad as in like showing them in a bad light.
He produced the movie, so what do you think he's going to do?
Dr. Dre and Ice Cube both had a big say in how that movie was.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining about the movie. I thought the movie was great.
Loved it.
I thought when I first saw that movie that I thought Eazy-E would be a really good nickname for me until I realized that he met the untimely demise. It didn't seem like a nickname I would use.
If that had been the case, though.
Right?
I'd definitely be calling you Eazy-E on the show.
I think it would have worked.
For sure.
Can you imagine? It's Quinn and Eazy-E.
I think I got a little ring to it myself.
I do too.
All right. I probably should go to break.
Yeah, we're not going to get JD, and if we do, we'll sneak him in a little bit later. I think Big Five is coming up. We got our NFL picks in the 5 o'clock hour, and I can't wait for this, honestly. But we can't get it in, I don't think, till the top of the hour. Tony found
Some gold for my two friends here.
Criticizing Lane Kiffin. We've got to play this for you.
He is calling right now. So,
well, you're the producer. I don't know what you want to do.
Yeah, you guys. Yo,
let's take him.
Put him on for a few minutes then.
But what happens to Big Five?
We'll do the Big Five, but let me take him. Hold on. Let me get him off.
Scraby's got to say hello.
This is all listening to Scraby.
Scraby's talking to J.D. Luster right now. Okay.
J.D.?
J.D., how are you, sir?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good.
You're doing well, man.
Did Dutch put an extra drill in today or something at the end of practice? Because you guys are always right on spot, you know?
Yeah, that's my apologies.
It's all good.
I had to. Well, I'm on daddy duties.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm
on daddy duties.
Daddy duty will definitely do that.
That
for sure.
Does take precedence. Coach, we do have a few minutes. We appreciate the time. Both Tony and I, watching the Nevada game, obviously, the other night, I don't know if we were hopeful, but we're thinking the corner's starting to be turned a little, just by the way you guys kind of shook off the early struggles and won a really nice get on the road.
Yeah, that was Nevada's a really good team, and they're good on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. They really challenge you. Offensively, they do a good job of moving out the ball and making you guard for 30 seconds. So that was one of our emphasis is you got to guard for 30 seconds. You know, some teams, they want to play fast. They want to shoot it early in the shot clock. Nevada, they're the opposite. They're disciplined. They want to really make you guard. Then on the defensive end, they're very versatile, especially how they guard ball screens. So they can switch it up. Sometimes they'll hedge ball screen. Sometimes they'll switch. So it was a tough game, and that's a tough place to play. So I tip my hat off to our guys. You know, we started off in a hole, and we found a way to come back.
JD, I'm interested to hear from you on this. As you guys have gone through the early portion of the season and had some of the inconsistencies, you come into a game against a very good Reno team, as you mentioned. What were you guys looking for early in that ball game, especially as you guys got behind there? What kind of things were you guys looking for to kind of signal to yourselves, okay, I think these guys got it?
Well, we just had a tough game against Boise State. You know, we went into three overtimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was on Saturday. Then you turn around and play on Tuesday. So, you know, we knew going into the game we had to manage our guys. We tried to manage them 2 days prior to the game, just, you know, manage their bodies. But we just wanted to come out with some energy and not come out flat. And I think we came out flat. But one of the things that we have is we have depth.
Yeah.
So, you know, usually we could find five guys who got it that night. And I think when we made our subs, you know, Taj DeGorville came in. He had 10 points and 5 rebounds in the first half. You know, Sean came in, Newman, and made a big three. Like, it was a collective effort. And I thought our second unit came in and really helped us.
And I thought, Miles Byrd was nice to see him get back in form, have his kind of game. And, you know, it was a good team win, there's no doubt. And hopefully going forward, you know, this is a big, big boost. I want to ask you real quick. I was reading this story in the paper today by Mark Ziegler about a timeout late in the game that Dutch called. And he apparently, I'm sure he talked with you guys on the staff, but he remembered a play that you guys ran against Nevada last year, and he thought this would be a perfect time to put it in, and it worked. I think Guath got a dunk out of it. But I love these stories. You coaches have your memories are incredible, right? That you could be on the sideline during a game. How did that all come about? Take us through that a little bit, because I loved it.
So last year, he put that play specifically in for that Nevada game. And one of the things that, you know, I tell people, anybody that will listen, Dutch is very good at, like, scouting. Like, I always feel like we're the best prepared team whenever we go out there and play, because he's so honed in on the details. And the story behind that play is actually funny. We stole that play from Fresno. We were watching Fresno running against Nevada, and we seen that the way they were guarding, and we were like, well, the big is always open if he just slips to the rim.
Right.
So we stole it from Fresno. We ran the same play Fresno ran against them the game before, but we put our own little twist to it, and we got like 3 or 4 dunks last year. So Dutch being Dutch, he saved it to the second half. He didn't run it in the first half
because
he didn't want them to be able to make adjustments. So in the game, it was a challenge that we challenged. And since we were able to challenge, you know, it gives you time while the ref is looking at the play.
Yeah.
So as the players run over and Dutch is like, we're going to run box floppy. And during that time, we subbed in, right? So we subbed in. This is important because we were playing. We had a small lineup in. So Nevada tried to match our small lineup, right? So when we subbed in, they didn't sub in. So now we're big and they're small. I could tell that they went over that play a few times during the scout. But when they went over it, it was a big
different
in a
lineup.
Position, not a guard.
Yeah.
So when we ran it and we came off, the guard didn't do what he was supposed to do. He switched out, which gave Magoon an opportunity to get a lob, and he came down with it and dunked. And the whole Nevada sideline, all the coaches were like slamming clipboards. They were like throwing their hands up in the air. And I'm like, so I told Dutch, I said, Dutch, they went over it. They just had a different, like, they had a small lineup in. They didn't adjust when we adjusted.
That's,
so,
you know, this is very intricate for maybe a casual basketball fan. But to the, a real basketball fan, this is the kind of stuff that I just think is the greatest. And it's the reason
it's
why
chess.
We're successful.
Yeah.
Yep, it's chess. It's chess. You always got to play chess. And I think Dutch is always one play ahead. And I think that was brilliant because we needed a basket. You know, that game towards the end was going back and forth. And anybody who could steal a basket and get a stop, they probably was going to win. And fortunately, that was us.
Well, JD, you guys off to the 4-0 start, despite maybe not being at the expected level. Aztecs sitting in a good spot. We appreciate you coming on, spending a little time with us.
Thanks, JD.
Yep, thank you, guys. I apologize.
No, you're
good. No apologies necessary.
Get back to daddy duty.
No apologies necessary. All right, they got Fresno tomorrow. We got to get caught up on a break, so we'll get to some traffic and all of that now.
We'll actually get to the traffic on the other side. Big Five. And breaking Padres news.
4:42 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. I think we got to get right into the Big Five here, huh? 4:42?
Yes. We're right, going to carry over.
Traffic?
Traffic is ready.
Traffic.
Let's just do a quick version today.
Yeah, that's up to you guys.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll get right into it. I just want to say that we are broadcasting live from the Bill Howe Studios. We know how, or the Bill Howe Palace.
We know how.
We know how. All right, let's get into it. And I told you all there was some breaking Padres news before the break. The arbitration, or they have avoided arbitration, the Padres, with six players agreeing to terms with Jason Adam, Mason Miller, Adrian Morejone, J.P. Sears, Freddie Fermin, and Gavin Sheets on one-year contracts through 2026. Now, I don't really have a question for you guys because this just happened.
I'm really excited by that.
Well, because
Tony, anything?
No, because my question is...
No, you got a question now.
Well, my question would be, do you guys think this is the right idea? Yeah, the answer is yes. So,
all right, good. On to number four. Told you we were going to go fast.
Okay.
Number four.
No analysis on that at all?
There's nothing to analyze.
They brought him back.
They were always coming back.
We would have already known they weren't bringing him back because it would have been called non-tendering.
No,
but
good point.
Since they had already tendered them a contract, this was inevitable.
So this was the deadline for not having to go to an arbiter.
Ding!
And A.J. Preller, I don't believe, has ever...
Never happened.
Never gone on
it's
at
never
arbitration.
Happened.
All right. We're on to number four.
I tried to get us to number four quickly, but you keep
He blames it on, us, though.
I know.
Driven by shedding payroll, a trade sending Fernando Tatis Jr. to the Detroit Tigers is seen as a possibility as proposed by fan sighted Christopher Klein. None of the players in the return, though, are Tarek Skubal. Here's what he wrote. Quote, "It does not feel like the San Diego Padres are going to trade Fernando Tatis Jr. this winter, but there has been enough chatter of seismic changes in San Diego, enough smoke blowing on the wind, to at least consider the possibility. If the talented outfielder does wind up on the market, the Detroit Tigers make all the sense in the world as a team in need of that foundational superstar-level bat." Now, this is not going to happen, and he even says that in his own answer. But, Chris, my question is...
He said it in his own answer to his question?
He said it does not feel like the Padres are going to trade him, so I don't know why he's writing about it. But, Chris, my question is, Tarek Skubal in this trade is not involved, but he would have to be involved for Fernando to go. Is Tarek Skubal worth selling the farm for 1 year?
Nope.
Okay. Tony?
The farm? What
He's
farm?
Really into this quick thing.
Well, we've discussed this 100 times. I think an everyday player who's an MVP candidate is always more valuable.
The farm is Tati.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. I think he's just more valuable than an ace pitcher.
Because if you were talking about the farm, I'd be like, yes.
Like, Tati would be included farm members.
No.
All right. No, he says.
All right, Skubal did. We're on to number three.
He did avoid arbitration 22.5 $1 million. I was doing my usual news searching and came across an article written by dogpounddaily.com.
Places
of journalism?
News reading day?
I go to like Google News and I go to the sports section scroll, and I found it from dogpounddaily.com, and they're claiming claiming the reason Kevin Stefanke, and if you don't know why I'm saying that, Chris said his name was
Chris
Stefanke
coined
the
it.
Other day,
right.
Got fired, and it was not because of Deshaun Watson or Shador or Dylan Gabriel. According to reports, owner Jimmy Haslam was upset watching Joe Flacco shine in Cincinnati after being traded earlier this year. And I should know.
You mean Jimmy Haslam didn't want to blame himself for all the stupid blunders
I believe that he has to sign off on those things. And I should note, Pete Prisco reports Stefanke never wanted Deshaun Watson in the first place. Dog Pound Daily, though, they are upset that Stefanke was fired. They said, you can't fire a two-time coach of the year. You can't do that. This is so Browns. Revisiting this, Tony, did he deserve to get the boot?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole Browns thing is weird because they got like different segments of fans. Like, there's a large portion that was pissed at Kevin Stefanski for not playing Shador earlier. There's a portion that feel like it's stupid to fire the two-time head coach of the year. I think this is the right move. I mean, a lot of the things that... they won the last two games of the season. They might have been able to win a few more if they went to this a little bit earlier.
Shador did provide a lightning bolt.
I just think I think he met his own demise, right? The Deshaun Watson thing was not his fault. However, we did watch Deshaun Watson go from a MVP caliber quarterback to not even recognizable as an NFL player under his time watch. We saw Baker Mayfield come in the door. Y'all let him go.
Yeah.
We saw.
Why doesn't Stefanski get any blame for any of that
None of it. I mean, there's a lot that happened under his watch, and whether it was his fault or not, typically in professional sports, college sports now, if things are happening under your watch, whether you had a direct hand in them or not, you are the one that's blamed since you're in charge.
Yeah, I guess so. That's kind of unfair, but it is the way it is.
That's how it's always been.
Chris, did he deserve to get the boot, Stefanski?
The 4 years that he did not win Coach of the Year, he was 23-45.
Oof.
So, enough said.
All right.
Number two.
Okay, I've been waiting all day to hear Chris's reaction to this, but Peacock has announced feature changes for subscribers to potentially be able to mute announcers.
Well, this doesn't involve me because I'm never going to be a subscriber.
And change crowd noise levels during the broadcast, according to the Sports Business Journal.
the announcers and change crowd level.
Now, the adjustments will be limited to streaming only and are part of the platform's new upgrade to Dolby sound products later this year. But from the press release, throughout 2026, Peacock will be onboarding more live sports into Dolby Vision and Atmos experiences, including Sunday Night Football, NBA, MLB, making every play feel as vivid and thrilling as being on the 50-yard line courtside or sitting behind home plate. Now, this is... I have actually watched a movie with, like...
Dolby Digital?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is
cool. It's legit.
Like, if I could get into a place where I'm hearing... the field, and it's like on the right side and the left side. I think I would definitely try that out. But, Chris, you're up first. Will you use this feature?
The announcerless feature or the Dolby?
No,
the,
well, that is what it is.
Okay.
So you could choose to get rid of the announcers and raise the crowd noise, or you could lower the crowd noise and use the announcers.
All right. Well, on the announcer thing, just answer me one thing. Is Joe Tessitore going to be working at Peacock?
I heard Joe the other day at the holiday.
Showtime! He was so bad.
He was so
even
extra.
Even Lori was like, who is this guy? She didn't even know what, you know, watching the game. Barely.
I felt the same way last time listening to him, last week,
come
I think.
Come on, man. Yeah, I think people will try it. It is fun, but, you know, I turn the sound down all the time, as you know.
What do you do? Okay, this is like Jake Cronenworth driving without anything on in the car. What do you do while you're watching and the sound is off?
Well, it's not completely off. I just have a little noise.
White noise, basically.
Light noise,
but you're watching the game.
Yeah, but I don't need to hear everything they're saying unless it's somebody I like Troy Aikman or Tony Romo. Most of these guys don't say a lot that I'm all that interested in.
Your eyes are going to get stuck in the back of your head. You keep rolling them like that.
But it's the truth. The Dolby Digital? That's never a... I guess I would like it. I would like it, but I don't think I'll ever have a TV that'll... be popping enough to make that really work.
Popping? Yeah, you will.
You
TVs
think?
Are going to start coming. No, I think that this is... Yeah, you have to be set up for it, but it's going to come standard.
Yeah.
Tony, would you use this feature?
I do use this feature.
You already do.
Yeah, Dolby Digital is not...
No, I'm saying like...
For Peacock?
Turn down, yeah, for Peacock.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, okay. I don't know. I like most of the... there are very few announcers that I'm like, oh, I can absolutely not stand to listen to them. There are just very few. And so
my list is much longer than yours.
It is,
which is really mean.
I've grown up because my dad and his video listening to many different voices, and so it's kind of like the norm for me.
I think it's mean of me to do that because I myself am an announcer, and I'm sure there's people out there who have heard me and go, "Oh my god." But my advice to all, do what I do. Turn the sound down then. It's okay.
All right. Number one. According to Yahoo Sports, Brock Purdy was the most common quarterback on Yahoo Fantasy Championship winning teams with a 20.5% roster number. Now, you may remember he played the Bears in Week 17, which is most championship weeks.
I believe that's the answer to this, right?
303 passing yards.
I bet you Bijan was on everybody's championship roster because he had 50 points
in
the last game.
Three passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns. So my question for you guys is this, Tony. Is Brock Purdy a QB1 candidate for your fantasy team next year?
No, because he plays for the 49ers.
Yeah, I couldn't have
thought
every week.
He won't be at the top of my list because of that. Some of my fantasy picks, a few, I should say, are based on, can I watch you?
Agreed.
Can I watch your team?
I agree.
But you can't watch my team?
No, I'm really not a fan of watching the Niners.
It would be hard for me to even to have McCaffrey. I couldn't root
that
for
you. That
one
I would make an easy exception for.
He might be an exception.
easy.
Yeah. But I struggle. I agree with you, Tony. Yeah. I mean, the Brock Purdy is, I think he's a QB1, to answer your question.
No question he's a QB1.
But I think so are 12 other guys, right. So I don't mind having one of the other 11.
Okay, that's a better answer.
That's basically what I'm saying.
I've never picked Brock Purdy, so there you go. Chris, you already said it. You already answered. All right. When we get back, we have a couple different directions that we can go. We have our NFL picks at 5:20.
But we got to play the guy ripping on Lane Kiffin.
That's what I was
Everybody's going to tune in for that.
Old Jimbo.
Old Jimbo gets at Lane Kiffin.
To break, we go.